we will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Can we pray with one another? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for good weather, for fellowship, for smiling faces, for the love and the joy in our hearts that we feel, that we know when we come back together. God, thank you. Thank you that we can be with each other, that your love and your grace surrounds us, that there is hope. So, Lord, help us know that all will be well. Help us know that you go before and behind us. Help us know that there is still goodness in this world to be known and seen and shared. Almighty God, we give you thanks. And we pray that those prayers that are too heavy on our hearts to lift up, that we don't have the courage to have pass our lips, that you still hear those as well. Lord, we know prayer changes many things, and our hearts is one of those. So, Lord, change our hearts that they might beat in time with yours, that your grace might flow through us and bless this world. Lord, be with us and hear us as we are with each other and we are with you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so with the confidence of those who have been redeemed by God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hey, if there's any kids in this house, why don't you come on up front and we can have a kids' message?
How many of you guys have been sitting in a class or have been in a conversation and somebody asks a question and but then everyone laughs? Oh. Have you guys ever been in that situation? A little bit? I definitely have. It doesn't feel very good, does it? Now, how many of us have accidentally made the mistake of making someone not feel very good by laughing as well? I have been there as well. It's okay to say yes. It's not very fun, is it? No. Now, somewhere in the Bible, way in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, I have it pulled up so I can read it to you. It's Proverbs 16:24. And it says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. Now, when you're laughing, you might think that, you know, those aren't words, right? That's just a sound. But I think it still counts, right? And even though laughing has its time and place, like if I'm a very funny person, I know you all laugh at my jokes. It's very nice to laugh. Yes, thank you. I heard some giggles. Thank you. That's funny, right? That's okay to laugh at. But if someone is trying to contribute, maybe we shouldn't laugh at that, right? Even if what they say might sound silly to us, it might be important to them, right? Or if we think the answer is wrong, that's just a chance for them to learn, right? Right. So how do you guys think we could help a friend that's finding themselves in that situation of either being laughed at or laughing at another person? You can stand up for them. You can help them feel better. You can go and comfort your friends. That's always a nice one. See, there's lots of ways to help people. Oh, sorry, everyone, that was really loud. There's lots of ways to help, right? Shall we pray? All right. Hey, God. Thank you so much for making me a good friend and giving me the ability to help those who need it. Amen.
The New Testament lesson for this morning, I think, is built a little bit almost for the election season that we are in. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. So then, putting away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Those who steal must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor, doing good work with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you.
And all the people said, Amen. Friends, it's a time where we remember that God is good, that God provides, that even in the midst of trials and uncertainty, that the grace of the Lord is there. I know you hear it every Sunday, and yet it's a moment where we get to practice not only generosity, but kindness and grace. For those of you who continue to help support the ministries of this church, thank you. I don't know if you hear that enough. We certainly probably don't say it enough. But thank you for all the ways that you help make this sanctuary a good and welcoming place, that you help make this community one that reaches out and blesses others. Thank you for all the ways that you provide and give, both with your resources, with your prayers, with your time, with your talents. If you'd like to continue to partner with us, we're going to pass the plates, but that's not the only way. You can always give online, through check, by mail, however you need to, whatever's most comfortable. But most importantly, thank you for all the ways that you help. Friends, shall we pray? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have blessed us in more ways that we can count. Even as our hearts might be filled with fear and uncertainty, Lord, we know that you will care for us, that you will provide for us. And Lord, what we offer today is from the generosity of our hearts. Lord, give us hands that are willing to give. Give us hearts that are at peace. And Lord, help us know that all is well, that you are with us. Lord, may the things that we offer to you that you first gave us bless not only the people in our congregation, but make it possible to bless the people in our community. Lord, turn our hearts of stone into beating hearts of flesh and grace. Through Christ our Lord, we give thanks. And all the people said, Amen. And Amen. Our New Testament reading, or our New Testament, our Gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 20. This is the Gospel according to Matthew. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached him and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard you say that? He answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, Explain this parable to us. Then Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. My sister lives out in the Luss Hills in western Iowa. Do you know how far it is to the Council Bluffs area? Far enough for kids to get a little squirrely in the back of a van, right? See, my sister, we've been trying to get together. I think I've told this before. They just bought a new house. My sister did a really good job decorating it. She works from home, so of course she did a good job decorating it because she has to live with it now, right? But we finally found some time, and it was yesterday, we finally found some time to set aside to go and visit family. Now, what I've learned over my many, many years on this earth is that children have a couple needs. Do you know what the greatest ones are? Food. And the other is typically around 7 or 8 or 9 or midnight, if it's Christmas, sleep. So 3 hours out to the Council Bluffs area. 3 hours out to the Council Bluffs area, and then we had a wonderful time. My brother-in-law grilled for us. We sat on the porch. It was nice and warm because thanks be to God for the weather. And we looked at all of the beautiful scenery, the fields that have yet to be harvested, the wind going through the trees, the big old cottonwood that's finally lost all of its leaves. And then that dreaded time came. Do you know what it was? Strapping the kids back into the car as they're complaining and whining and screaming, getting in. We brought the dog, too, who actually did fine on the way out and fine on the... He was probably the best behaved one of the whole bunch, except for maybe myself and Sarah. But we had to drive 3 hours back. And what I've learned is that my son... Ben, my middlest,
when he falls asleep, he's good to go. He is good to go until you stop the car. So if you don't have to fill up on gas, what do? You keep going, because as soon as he wakes up, it doesn't matter how late it is, he's going to be awake the whole time. And if he doesn't have what he wants, he's going to whine weakly from the back. And then a little bit louder, and then a little bit louder, and then a little bit louder, right? Nora is a pretty good traveler. She's learned. But of course, when she was a baby, to get her to sleep, when I was living in Des Moines, I would drive from the south side of the Des Moines all the way to Indianola and back, which round trip is about an hour. That's a good drive, friends. And about the time we got back, she'd finally be asleep. So she's learned. She put her time in, for the most part. It's Susan. Sweet baby Susan, who hasn't quite yet learned what it means to travel long distance. So you can imagine, when she starts to get wound up, it takes her a while to wind down. And when she's wound up, do you know what happens? The other kids start to get wound up. Parents in the room, do you remember, and maybe you're still in this stage, do you remember what it's like to drive long distance with kids? You'd do it again in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? Right? So you can imagine Sarah, who stays at home with the kids and raises them during the day, has built up a tolerance to all of this whining. Myself, who's out and about, how good do you think my tolerance is? I'm giving a thumbs down, and that's just about right. Needless to say, drawing from the previous sermon a week ago, I had to ask for what? Forgiveness. In the middle of the ride, I couldn't take it anymore, and I turned around and probably with a voice a little bit louder and a little bit rougher than was probably appropriate, I said, "Kids, if you don't stop, I'm going to turn this car around and I'm going to drop you off at Katie and Kent's and we'll go get you in a week." Do you think it worked? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I did. I asked forgiveness. I don't know if they've forgiven me, because they're kids and I think they're still learning how to do that. But obviously, Nora was up here and she gave me a hug, so something must be right, right? Amen? Amen. But it's forced me to reflect. See, this is the thing about Scripture. You can read something, you can reach back to all of those old examples and old memories and old stories, but the thing of it is that even in our daily lives, new stories come up. No matter how redone, no matter how small it is, we always learn something today, here, now. There are always things to reflect upon. And so even now, at the midnight hour on a Saturday evening, God was still speaking about being kind, about using words that uplift and encourage, and as Paul puts, edify the body, builds it up. I want you to think back. I want you to go back into your memory and think back. What are words that someone spoke to you that still stick with you today? That maybe hurt you? Didn't leave you in the best place? Were a little bit mean? Do you remember those words? Do you remember the ways that you've been hurt? See, that's what's fascinating, isn't it? Sometimes those ways that people hurt us, maybe unintentionally, right? How many of you are just big kids in here? It's okay. I get hungry too. And if my daughter is anything to go by, we're basically two peas in a pod, because she stays up forever and she wakes up hard because we need what? Sleep. It's been that way for me forever. If I have a full belly and I've got enough rest, then I'm a pretty pleasant person. But as soon as one of those two things are out of balance, it takes an incredible amount of energy to just be what? Pleasant. Nice. Kind. See, it's interesting. I think we as people, sometimes mean words are said. Sometimes unintentionally, maybe we're a little bit grumpy and we hurt each other. And it takes a while for those wounds and those words to heal over, doesn't it? Of course, if we remember from last time, forgiveness is important. In fact, it's probably one of the greatest things and the highest calling that we have, is to forgive and to reconcile. But see, there's this passage in Galatians. I think Paul's kind of had it finally, and he says, all right, here's the deal. And this is in Galatians 5. Here's the deal. This is what we should be striving for. This is the fruit that the Spirit bears. This is what we should look to and know that God is with us and God is good. The fruits of the Spirit are, do we remember them? It gets a little fuzzy for me. Can you help me out? It's love, patience, joy, peace. What was that? Kindness. I want to stop on that one. Kindness. Is it hard to be kind? It depends, right? It depends. Nevertheless, I think this is what God calls us to. And no thinking about it, this is what God calls us to. One of the great things that the church has had to wrestle with in the past is that we're not a people quite yet there. It makes it difficult when we go out and we say, God is good, Christ is risen. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it's hard to see that, even amongst ourselves, right? Even within ourselves, right? I know, I'm turning the mirror inward. I'm shining the light on those dark parts of our hearts. How many of you are uncomfortable? You're not raising your hands yet. Maybe we should go deeper, right? I would go so far as to say that the greatest challenge of the church today is to remember and reclaim what Christ has taught us. To be loving and gentle and gracious and kind. I would go so far as to say that until we can do those things, life will continue to be difficult. See, unfortunately, some of the other stuff is easy, isn't it? It's easy to organize. Is it easy to ask for volunteers? Maybe not. But some of this other stuff is easy. It's our hearts changing that's difficult. It's our hearts changing that truly matters. It's a lifelong work and journey that we all, whether we realize it or not, sign up for. It's kind of the unglamorous. Is that how I conjugate that word? Is that a real word? Not glamorous, unglamorous? It's kind of the unglamorous work that we do. It's a little bit like sweeping the floor or changing diapers. It's stuff that needs to happen. But it's not stuff to get up on the mountaintops and shout about. Christ talks about two things here. The first is what we've been talking about. Our own hearts. Taking care of our own house, right? This is back earlier in Matthew. If there's a speck in your brother or sister or sibling's eye, what are you supposed to do? Take the log out of your own first. Amen? Amen. To take care of our own hearts is our first responsibility. But there's something else that happens here as well. See, because it's not only about the ways that we act, it's sometimes the ways that people act to us. How many of you have ever been in a place where you were just, where you were just, someone was a little unhappy with you and they were using some words that probably weren't very kind? Anyone ever been there? No one? I know, right? What'll you do? What do you do in a moment where that kindness is not on display? And unfortunately, even in the church, because we're all humans, aren't we? We're all people, flesh and blood. We have hearts that beat. We get hungry. We get tired. We get sore. We get cranky. We get upset. So the question is not so much how to avoid it, but rather what do we do when that happens? Now, there's a place in Scripture where Paul says, well, just bless them. Give them compliments. It's like heaping hot coals over their heads. Have you ever done that before? You've just been so kind that people get frustrated and leave? This is really good, by the way, in customer service, if you've never worked that. It's a really good technique. And Paul's not necessarily right, or Paul's not necessarily wrong. That is something that is good that we are called to do. Even in the face of frustration and being hurt ourselves, the best course is always to be kind. I think the only amendment to that, the only bit of commentary I want to leave is, we're kind not to make people uncomfortable. Because remember, it's one thing to be, what's the phrase, Iowa nice, you've heard that before? That really wonderful, passive-aggressive Midwest politeness. Have you ever experienced that? It's great, isn't it? I'm trying to kill that in my family, by the way. Pray for me. It's one thing to be polite. It's another thing when our hearts are so thoroughly changed that even in the midst of that frustration and that pain and that hurt, that we can be nice not to really get under someone else's skin because they're in the wrong, but to be nice so that they might know they are also a beloved child of God. You see the difference there, right? You see that difference in approach and perspective. And that's hard stuff, friends. That's a lifetime worth of work. But take a moment and look back on your own lives. How far have you come as a person from when you were younger? How short has your fuse been in the past? Part of this is a lifelong journey. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. We only get better. And if that's scary, that's okay. We're all in the same boat on this one. But I think, as it was mentioned earlier, we're in a season where, and maybe we've been in a season for the last however many years or decades, where it seems like the go-to thing to do is to just be mean. To just poke buttons and get a reaction. We're all people. We live in society. We're shaped and formed even if we're unaware of it. But it's something the church, I think, speaks to. Maybe not very loudly. Maybe not very boldly all the time. But there's a certain amount of kindness that we practice in the church that, quite frankly, the world needs. And the challenge, I think, as much as it is to be kind, is what to do when people are unkind to us. I'm going to give you a little prayer, and I want you to say it after me. I'm going to say it first, and then we're going to repeat it together. Is that okay? You've heard this one before. You ready? Lord, help me. Amen. Lord, help me. Amen. Because that's the thing. You don't have to have a response right away. Have you ever been in that situation where your face gets flustered and your chest tightens up a little bit and your gut gets tied in knots and you say, I have to respond? It's okay to take a breath. And on that inhale, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because, friends, this is a very serious thing. This is something that the church needs to reclaim. To be nice, to be kind, to be loving, to be patient, to be gentle. And I'm not fooled to think that we can do this just like that, just like going through a drive-through line and getting fast food. I know it will take work, but what I also know is this. The Spirit is continually at work. Like water going over a stone, smoothing out the rough places of our hearts, there is hope even if it takes time. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. It's enough to speak kindly. It's even better to respond kindly. But part of what we do is we preempt all of this as well. How many of you have ever taken public transit before? Do you like it? Do you like the bus or the train? I know. It's a real mixed experience, right? It depends on who your neighbors are on the bus and the train. Amen? But it's fascinating. When I was in a larger city taking public transit nearly every day, you get used to the people that you sit next to, or that sit around you, or that take those forms of transportation at the same time as you do. And what's fascinating is you may never ask their name. You may never know who they are, where they're from, how many brothers and sisters they have, who their parents are. But what you notice is when they're gone, when the routine gets upset. Now, there's a practice that I started doing, not only for when I'm taking the bus or the train, or not only when I'm walking through the checkout line or whatever, but it's blessing people that I don't know. Think about that. What is your routine throughout the day and throughout the week? It's pretty consistent, isn't it? You wake up at a certain time, you eat your meal at a certain time, you run your errands on a certain day. If you're still working, there's a clock in and a clock out. You go to bed at a certain time. What I want to leave you with is this. As you go throughout your day, look at the people around you. Take a moment to realize who it is that you're running into or walking beside or driving next to. And bless them. Just like that simple prayer, Lord, Lord, help me. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you one more. God, bless them. God, bless them. It's a practice, and there may be sometimes you do it more often and more frequently than others. There may be a time where you forget to do it and it might come back to you. But this is a part of that kindness to begin with. This is probably that last and final step. Can we be kind even to people who we don't know, who we may never see again? And this is one way to practice that. God, bless them. So as we reflect on how to be kind, may you examine those parts of your heart. May you take care of yourself. How many of you are getting enough sleep? No one? I know, right? How many of you are getting enough food? Amen. Hallelujah. Take care of yourselves. Because we're humans, we're spirits wrapped in flesh. Sometimes when we're achy and grumpy and tired, it's hard to be nice. And when people are a little bit less than unkind, what's that prayer again? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Take some time. You don't have to respond right away. And as you go throughout your day, when you're ready, as you go throughout your day and you see people that you don't even know, What was that prayer again? God, bless them. God, bless them. Because of this, I am assured, if we do this, if we do these simple, small things, you will start to see goodness and love and light blossom in your communities. The gospel will be preached. The kingdom will start to be built, and people will be blessed. May it be so. May you practice these little things. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to try not to forget like I did last Sunday. There's a prayer by this guy named Francis. Maybe you've heard of him. This is a good one. I invite you all to pray this with me, because if you're looking for more things to help guide you, this is a prayer you can trot out every once in a while. You can find it on page 481 in your hymnal if that's easier to read. But friends, would you pray with me? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And when there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our final hymn, Lay Me Down.
Lay me down. Oh, lay me down. will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, always. It will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will.
Amen. Amen. Friends, a couple very, very, very brief announcements before we give the blessing. November's coming up, and do you know what is typically in November? Soup supper. Do you have a bulletin with you? Do you have one of these? There should be an insert in there. How many of you are really good at making pies or brownies or desserts? Everyone who's raising their hand, you're going to sign up, aren't you? Oh my goodness, that would be so fantastic. Thank you so much. Other than that, that's it. Friends, would you receive the benediction? May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift you up and give you peace. May your hearts be softened. May all of our hearts be softened so that there is kindness and light and love. And may the God of graciousness walk with us as we learn how to do this. All the days of our lives. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, Amen and Amen. Friends, go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service is ended.